Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our lesson should assist us to see a side of Christianity that many people overlook. It is a side that even causes some to reject it. Thoughtful observers are aware that many people want a religion that is not exacting and not demanding of them. But the faith of Jesus Christ, as revealed in the New Testament, demands more of some than they're willing to give. Even when some professed Christians reveal an unwillingness to be inconvenienced to meet the demands, why, they want an easier religion. They want it so much they've altered the way of Christ and tried to make it easier. Is it unfair to suggest that many religious people today are busier than ever trying to convert God to accept them as they are, rather than being converted to God's way? But we're persuaded and would persuade you that the New Testament faith was never intended to be an easy religion to follow. It is not a new thing in the world to discover people who despise a religion that really demands something of them. Years ago, a man attempted to make God's religion easier for himself and for his people. And after the tragic failure of the reign of Solomon and the arrogant display of folly by Rehoboam, his son, the nation of Israel divided into two nations. Judah was of the south, and northern Israel, of course, of the north. Jeroboam became the king of the north nation. In spite of the circumstances that brought Jeroboam to power, God promised to establish his house on the throne of Israel upon certain conditions. And those conditions included faithfulness to God and obedience to his will. But Jeroboam had other ideas and decided to alter God's way of doing things because he felt that God's way was just too demanding. The Israelites were to assemble in Jerusalem for certain feast days and holy days and special seasons and the like. Jerusalem was the location of the temple. But Jerusalem was also in southern Judah, which was under the rule and influence of Rehoboam. And Jeroboam feared for his people to go there, lest he lose his control over them and they be persuaded to return to Jeroboam. The scripture says, "And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of the people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam, the king of Judah." Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And he set the one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. 1 Kings 12, verses 26 through 29. Jeroboam pretended to have a concern for the people, but all the while he was only concerned for his own power. But he persuaded the people that what God expected, that is, the return to Jerusalem, was just too much, too demanding, unnecessary, too much of a hardship upon them. And he relieved that problem by setting up gods in the northern and southern extremities of northern Israel for the people to worship. The sacred historian records, "This thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan," 1 Kings 12 and verse 30. You see, this violated God's instructions. The king and the people wanted an easier religion, and they decided to follow the altered course provided by Jeroboam. It is a wonder that Jeroboam's evil plan was so readily accepted by the people. They knew better than to go along with his circumvention of God's plan. But obviously, there was in the mind of the people a streak of softness and compromise, the very sort of thing that this kind of suggestion of Jeroboam would appeal. Nearly everybody likes to be comfortable and have things easy. And there is no wrong in having things easy, provided you don't have to violate God's will to have it. But few are really willing to be inconvenienced for the cause of Christ. They want what they want. Their wishes and ambitions are really first with them. They do not like having to make sacrifices to serve the Lord. And if they sacrifice, they do it grudgingly. Some people never seem to realize that many things that are worthwhile demand a toil and sacrifice and self-denial and even tears. They find themselves torn between doing God's will and doing what they prefer because they wish to avoid any such thing. They want a religion that demands very little of them, makes them feel comfortable, allows them to go their own way regardless of what is best for the cause of Christ. They want a religion without tears. And while they accept the idea that religion may be essential to a good life, and they may even accept the idea that they must be Christians, they really do not like the faith of Christ if it interferes with their own way. And as a result, so many are half-hearted and lukewarm and indifferent. Many are dead and draggy and reluctant servants. They feel so martyred to have to serve Christ. If they could, they would change the faith and make it easier. Of course, changing the doctrine of Christ means damnation to the soul. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God, 2 John 9. Any alteration is condemned, Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Let us make a personal application of the lesson we learn from this Old Testament action by Jeroboam. After all, whatsoever things were written aforetime, Paul says, were written for our learning, so let us see what we can learn. Friend, there is coming a time when the faithful shall rest from their labors, Revelation 14:13. But that time is not now. Now is the time of work, John 9:4. When we come to Christ, we are relieved from burdens that we cannot successfully carry, but we assume a yoke which he describes as light and easy, Matthew 11:28-30. And in comparison with the burden of sin, his yoke is easy. But it is something still that is demanding of us and requires something from us. Too many want the deliverance from sin that Christ gives, but they do not want to have to carry the responsibility and the work of being a Christian. And if they cannot have an easy life and everything they want, they feel they have been victims of imposition. History teaches us that the majority of people have never approved of the Christian way of life. And while they love the sentimentality of Christianity, and often think of the joy and the peace that it offers, finding cause for rejoicing in the forgiveness of sins and the hope of the resurrection, they never want to think of it in terms of work and toil and sacrifice and service. That's a part of being a Christian as much as anything else. Possibly they've been so immunized against it by the teaching that salvation is by grace that they've forgotten or possibly never accepted the fact that there is a work also involved. Many would consider the way of Christ only in terms of the blessings to be received, but dismiss the teaching of such as Romans 12 and verse 1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service. This service and this sacrifice is a part of Christianity. It's a part that turns some people away. Now, we dare not minimize these wonderful benefits of being a Christian. There are such comforting words in the teaching of Christ. At times when death has struck near us, in periods of sickness and trial and disappointment, we lean heavily on the consoling words of the Lord to comfort our grief and to mend our broken spirits. But there are also words that are demanding, very exacting, very requiring. What do ye more than others? Matthew 5, verse 47. If ye love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. Love your enemies and do good to them that hate you and bless them that curse you and pray for them that despitefully use you. Luke 6:27-28. Forgive that your Father also may forgive you, Mark 11, verse 25. It is entirely possible for us to block our own forgiveness by refusing to be forgiving. The uncomfortable teachings of Jesus caused men to turn away from him when he walked among men in Palestine. In John chapter 6, we read, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this is a hard saying, they said, who can hear it? And it is later recorded, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. His faith, his teaching was too demanding for them. Living for God is never without its cost and its sacrifices. When much has been given to us, much is expected from us. To complain and find fault with working and serving for the Lord's cause is to betray an unwillingness to pay the cost. It is to have that Jeroboam attitude. It is too much. Notice the contrast between Jeroboam and Jesus. While Jeroboam contended that it was too much to go to Jerusalem, years later we read of Jesus, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written through the prophets shall be accomplished unto the Son of Man." Luke 18 and verse 1. The things that were to be accomplished refer to the betrayal of Christ, his own disciples forsaking him, his humiliation and suffering before the mockers against his claim of being the Son of God. It also included the beatings and the scourgings and the injustices, being spat upon, the cries of mockery and contempt, and eventually his death on the cross. Did he consider it too much to go to Jerusalem? Was there no other way for man to be saved, for me and for you to be saved, except that he do the will of the Father that had sent him? Thankfully, he did not complain and say, "It is too much." Many people want to be religious, but they want to be religious their own way. They are not very different from the priest and the Levite in the story of the Good Samaritan. They wanted to be religious without sacrifice, without service, without caring, without inconvenience, without any work or personal concern. So many have invented ingenious and fatal ways to make the faith of Christ easier than what God requires. Cross-bearing is an essential ingredient of discipleship. The words burden, cares, duties, obligations, thorns and trials, hardships and the cross and persecution, they're all a part of Christian language. A religion without tears is without a cross to bear, but is also a religion without salvation. If a religion without tears is what you want, friend, then Christianity will not supply that for you. There are two songs that we sing and worship that express the teaching we need to understand and which is the burden of this lesson. One stanza reads, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free?" No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. And another reads, "Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas?" My dear friend, Christianity is not without its tears. But be comforted and encouraged by the words that the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 8 and verse 18. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.